The following is brought to you by the Leave It in the Ring Podcast Network. All boxing, no filter.
Greetings and welcome to the Boxing Esquire Podcast. Welcome to another edition of the Boxing Esquire Podcast, presented by The Ring and RingTV.com and distributed by the Leave It in the Ring Network. My guest on this episode is the Vice President of Communications at Heyman Sports and the PBC, the one and only Tim Smith. We had the chance to discuss the big up-and-coming welterweight unification fight on September 28th between Errol Spence and Sean Porter. Talked about the status of Manny Pacquiao and what his future plans may be. We discussed Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz rematch, as well as the Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua rematch. Tim also gave the lowdown on the status of J-Rock, the Harrison Charlo rematch, Jermall Charlo, AB, Keith Thurman, Leo Santa Cruz, Gary Russell, and the Pascal Brown rematch. And he also gave his opinion on Dana White and Zuffa Boxing and their entry into the sport. So it's a great conversation. Really hope you enjoy. All right, I'd like to welcome the returning champion to the Boxing Esquire podcast, the man who's now, this is his third appearance on the show, one of the good guys of boxing, as I always say, Mr. Tim Smith of the PBC. Tim, welcome back to the Boxing Esquire podcast.
Thank you very much, Kurt. You know, you're one of the few guys with any integrity left in this sport and probably one of the few guys that I'll talk to. No, I'm just kidding. But no, not kidding about the integrity part. I'm kidding about one of the few guys that I will talk to. I will talk to almost anyone, but that's not an insult either. So I'm starting out. This is great, right? This is a great way to start. Let's just start. I'm done with trying to have platitudes. I respect you. I respect your work. You do have integrity. You're a great guy. I love talking to you. How about that?
Appreciate it. And I feel the same way about you, Tim. And, I just wanted to... Okay, listen to you laugh. Listen, man. Well, hey, we haven't caught up in a while. I was hoping to get kind of a state of the PBC, from you. Obviously, it's been a big year. I mean, with not one, not two, but three network deals that the PBC is involved with, and obviously not to bury the lead here, we've got certainly one of the biggest fights of the year for the PBC coming up with Errol Spence and Mr. Porter. So I know we're all preparing for that. So how is the build up to that fight going, and how are Sean and Errol doing?
The build up to it is, we're just sort of getting some momentum going. I sort of judge by the number of people that are calling and they're interested in talking to either one of these guys. And, I think the timing is pretty good for this fight. It's the latter part of September, sort of week three of the NFL season. So the NFL hasn't really gotten into a swing of things, and you've gotten over the newness of the NFL, and we've gotten some other fights out of the way. So it's 2 weeks after the traditional Mexican Independence Day holiday weekend. So I think people are sort of craving another big event now. And this sort of fits in nicely in the calendar.
Right.
And,
I mean, listen,
Spence and Porter, man, they've been great.
Absolutely. I mean, did you guys ever think of trying to like steal that date when it became available, the Mexican Independence Day?
No, I don't think so, because we didn't necessarily have anything that could have gone on that date for that kind of traditional. Mexican Independence Day, and obviously neither did anyone else.
Exactly.
but somebody tried to shoehorn something in there. And sometimes when you shoehorn and stuff in, it just doesn't fit, you know, exactly right. But you know, no, you know, I think we have to go by, you know, we have to go by what the schedule, you know, what the television schedule holds out for us. And that was, you know, what we, and that was what we had. So, you know, they gave us this date and for the pay-per-view, and that's what we jumped on. So, so here we are.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you know, this year, I mean, you know, it was kind of rumored that, you know, Fox is kind of a part of the deal is that they wanted to do a number of pay-per-views. And, you know, you had all kinds of people handicapping the numbers on what the pay-per-views, you know, would do in boxing. Cause you had, you know, with PBC, you know, you had, you know, some kind of, you know, younger fighters, well, not really younger fighters, but fighters who hadn't ever fought on pay-per-view before. And I think, you know, it's everyone's kind of been pleasantly surprised that, you know, the pay-per-views have done pretty well. You know, they've definitely they've done solid numbers. So, you know, Errol obviously is kind of like the crown jewel or one of the crown jewels of the PBC roster. You know, should he win this fight, you know, are you thinking that he's going to pretty much going to be a pay-per-view guy going forward?
Well, this is his second pay-per-view this year. You know, he fought Mikey in March on pay-per-view. So, yeah, I think he's in a great position to sort of grab that ring. I think when, you know, when we first started out, I think a lot of people were looking at Keith Thurman as that guy because he was, you know, he was pretty well established as a welterweight champion. And, you know, but the injury sort of sidelined him and knocked him off track. And in the interim, you know, Spence sort of, crept in there and just sort of caught everybody's fancy. So, you know, we knew that, that of the welterweights that we had, that it was going to be, you know, between guys like Thurman, Danny Garcia, Errol Spence, you know, and maybe Sean Porter. But Errol just sort of, you know, has captured everybody's imagination with his style and the way that he, you know, goes into the ring and takes care of business. So, you know, and you saw, you know, Keith try to come back this year. You know, he fought Josecito Lopez in January, then came back in July and fought Manny Pacquiao. And I think had he been successful against Manny Pacquiao, and then, you know, Spence, you know, had he come out, you know, if he were to come out against Porter, or even if Porter comes out, then that would have made for, you know, an interesting, you know, bout next year sometime. And, you know, but those guys are still in the mix. Danny Garcia is still in the mix. Keith Thurman's still in the mix. So you still have some interesting, you know, matches ahead in 2020. In terms of round robins with, you know, former welterweight champions. So, you know, nothing's lost, but at this point I would say that Spence has the inside track amongst the welterweights of being that guy that you push forward as a pay-per-view guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Keith Thurman and obviously, you know, his fight with Manny Pacquiao was a, you know, pretty amazing event and, you know, Pacquiao surprised a lot of people by being able to, you know, to drop Thurman and beat him in that fight. What's Manny's status now? I mean, is he a free agent? Is he with the PBC? What's kind of his status right now?
As far as I know, he's still with the PBC. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, we just treat shabbily and we don't do anything for.
Half the people
he's
saying
to hightail it any day now,
right? Yeah, exactly. You got, you know, people saying, oh, you know, that kind of stuff, and then people, oh, they're overpaying.
Yeah,
oh,
he's something to like, hightail it any time now. Right. Yeah, they're overpaying. You know, yeah. You know, but as far as I know, he's still with PBC. You know, he's still you know, obviously he's still welterweight champion. You know, he's got a title. But I think he is one of those guys, like a lot of guys, you know, he can sort of, he's earned the, let's just say he's earned the right to call his own shots. And I think that people that follow boxing sort of understand that, you know, he's sort of a champion emeritus, and I don't want to go all WBC on him and give him a Mayan title or an Aztec title or, you know, pre-Peruvian, you know, title or anything wacky. But I think he's sort of earned the right to call his own shots now in terms of what he wants to do. And, you know, there are a lot of good matches out there for him. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that sort of seriously sits back and looks and watches Spence and Porter to see, you know, to see what's there. And, you know, everybody, what always amazes me is everybody always wants to speak for these guys. Oh, there's no way he should get in the ring with Spence. You know, Spence will kill him. Spence will do this. Spence will do that. Well, you know, the same people were saying that, you know, he wasn't going to beat Keith Thurman.
Right.
But, you know, look, this guy has earned a right to do whatever he wants to do. And I think if he sees something there that he thinks he can exploit, you know, who knows? He may decide that that's the direction that he wants to go. But he has plenty of options to do what he wants to do. And I think he's earned that right. So I'm not going to, you know, sit around and tell him what he should do or what the next fight should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, I mean, you know, obviously PBC has, you know, the, you know, pretty much all of the more interesting welterweights in the world, save for Terrence Crawford. You know, you've got Danny Garcia, who is another guy who loves to negotiate, but always seems to end up back with the PBC. You know, I mean, he seems to be a guy who thinks that, you know, and obviously, you know, Pac being an older guy and a, kind of a smaller welterweight, though he's been at welterweight for a while now. But even so, I mean, that seems to be a fight that people are kind of thinking might be next. I mean, obviously, Pac wants Mayweather, but I mean, there's no indications that that fight's going to happen, right?
I haven't seen any indication. I mean, every time I see any kind of post from Mayweather, he's surrounded by tons of money or he's in his garage with his 20 cars that cost more than my house. he's getting off a private plane in some exotic locale. He's feeding flamingos in some place that, you know, I don't even know, that I'm never going to visit ever in my life. But it looks great. Every post that I see from him, you know, just screams that my life is, you know, 100 times better than yours and I'm enjoying it. So I don't know if he wants to, give that up and get into the ring and train at the level at which he would have to train to beat this reinvigorated Manny Pacquiao. Cause I got to tell you, Manny looks like he's, you know, dipped into the fountain of youth in that fight against Keith Thurman.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I think Keith had an outstanding plan, which was, you know, boxing, see if he could wear the old man out and, you know, take him out in the later rounds. But I think the knockdown early sort of knocked him off of his, you know, off of his game plan. And then he ended up having to try to make up the stagger, and he tried during the middle rounds and he just couldn't do it. And, but Manny looks like he's found, you know, some kind of vigor that, that 40-year-old guys, you know, around the world are looking for, but right. He seems to have found it. So, you know, I don't know if Mayweather wants to train as hard as he would have to train, to get back into the ring with Pacquiao.
Right. It's funny. I mean, when I spoke to John Hornauer on his podcast a little while ago, you know, John was just saying, he's like, listen, Floyd worked really hard during his career, trained a lot. I mean, not that he didn't have fun, but, you know, he's like, he's actually, you know, he's psyched to see him out traveling the world now and, you know, feeding flamingos wherever, you know, he's like, it's good to see him actually enjoying life. But, I think you're right. I mean,
this is what guys work hard for, so that when they get to a certain point in their life, they can enjoy it. You know, that they can just sort of hang it up and retire. Hey, I would have loved to have retired at, you know, at 40, 41 years old or 43 years old and just, you know, live a comfortable life, you know, but obviously I wasn't good at any sports and I'm not very smart at business. So I was not able to do that. So consequently, here I am talking to you on a Friday night.
here I am interviewing you on a Friday night.
Instead of flying. Yeah, and we should both be on our G7s flying back to, you know, to Bali or something. I don't know. But we're not doing that. So, you know, but I say all of that to say that, you know, if you have earned it, you have the right at some point, I think, you have the right to enjoy it without someone coming and asking you to entertain them again, you know, and you know, you should be able to ride off into the sunset and enjoy your, you know, fruits of your labor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, obviously Errol is kind of considered, you know, one of the two men to beat at 47 in what is a very stacked division, very talented division. Sean is obviously a very accomplished fighter. I think, you know, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous battle. Now, the winner of that fight, you know, let's say Pac decides, you know, that to take a Mikey Garcia or to just, you know, not take a Keith Thurman, you know, top level opponent. Do you see in 2020, or is there any kind of timetable for the winner of Spence Porter to face a Terrence Crawford and unify this thing and get everybody off both camps back for not making the fight?
this is the thing that I find interesting in this, and you and I both know Bob Arum, and you know we've been around Bob for a long time.
Yes.
And I ask people that know Bob and have been around him for a long time. I asked them if Top Rank had Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Manny Pacquiao, if he had those guys and the PBC only had Terrence Crawford, would he be running to the PBC to make a fight?
Well, let's see.
No, I'm asking you.
I'm trying to give you an answer. Like, how many times did Pacquiao fight Marquez? Was it 4 or 5 times? Like, you know, he can keep things in house as good as anybody. You know, and yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, it's all about leverage.
And how many times did Pacquiao fight? How many times did Pacquiao fight Terrence Crawford?
Last I checked, zero.
Okay. So you know, I say that with a little bit of jokingness to it. But I think if the tables were returned, then the narrative would be different. The narrative here, and here's what I think the narrative would be. I think the narrative would be, hey, let's let both of these guys build themselves up into bigger household names, you know. And if Arum had a Fox deal, his thing would be, I'm going to build my guy up on Fox so that he becomes a household name, so that the mainstream sports fan can think of him in the same way that they think of Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr., that he will be such a big name that when I decide to put him in against Terrence Crawford, then that will be a mega fight. And he would also be telling the person that had Terrence Crawford, he would be saying, hey, you ought to do the same thing with your platform. You ought to put this guy on your platform so that he can get big numbers on a big audience, not stick him on a streaming service which has a limited number of viewers, but put him on big ESPN so that he can get viewers, so that we can tell his story, so that we can build him up, so that when my man, whom I'm building up on Fox, gets a big name, and your man, who you're building up on the ring, and we can do Mayweather-Pacquiao type numbers in a pay-per-view.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean,
that's what I think he would be. That's what I think. That's what I think he would be saying if the tables were turned.
Yes, you know.
I
don't disagree with you, Tim.
That is what he would be saying at the table's return.
I don't disagree.
From a business standpoint, I could not argue with him. Because if those two guys are to get into the ring and make it a match that mainstream sports fans are going to flock to, and it's going to be a water cooler type match, they have to have some interest in both of those guys. They have to be able to know them. They have to be, you know, bigger names in the sports realm. We're trying to get there with Errol Spence.
Right.
You know, we have him going to Cowboys games. We have him with a close association with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. We're building on that. You know, our fights and our shows are being promoted on Fox during NFL games, where you have, you know, 15, 16, 17 million viewers on Sunday watching an NFL game, you know, watching the Cowboys play the Giants or watching the Cowboys play the Redskins or, you know, so we're trying to build this guy into a household name. Right. And I would ask, if you are interested in making this a big fight, what are you doing to build your guy into a household name?
Right. I mean, listen,
you're a great promoter. You're a great promoter. What are you doing to build him into a Mayweather type status or a Pacquiao type status? You've done it before.
Right.
Do it again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no two ways about it. They had to be disappointed with the pay-per-view numbers from Crawford Khan. You know, I mean, Aram had done a lot of talking about the big megaphone of ESPN and this and that. And obviously, you know, they have numbers to compare it to because PBC has been on pay-per-view quite a bit this year. And, the numbers were kind of disappointing. Speaking of, I mean, let's talk. I wanted to get into because Fox has, you know, obviously the NFL season is upon us. And I believe they have WWE as well, right?
Starting in October. I'm not plugging the WWE, but they start on Fox the weekend after the Spence Porter pay per view. They're actually back at Staples Center. I think it's that Friday, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're back at the Staples Center on Friday with their kickoff show.
Right.
On Fox.
And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's value to lead-ins, there's value to synergy. So talk a little bit about, you know, what PBC's kind of strategies have been with, you know, in working those synergies with like the NFL and, you know, upcoming with the WWE. I mean, I did see one of the producers of the PBC show getting body slammed by a wrestler, which was pretty novel way to... sell the sport.
I think there are opportunities that are going to be there, and I think, you know, Fox is going to strategically use those opportunities where they can to do some cross promotion with all the sports that they have. And, you know, we just had some incredibly great numbers that we're working on a release on. But I can give them to you, so it's because it's not something that, you know, I'm not giving you trade secrets or anything. But the shoulder programming has been something that's just sort of caught my eye. And the last week's Fight Camp, which is like, you know, our countdown show for the pay-per-view, it was on Fox and it averaged 664,000 viewers. And the week before, the Spence versus Porter countdown, PBC countdown show, had 605,000 viewers on Fox on a Saturday night. Now, the just by comparison, the highest rated boxing show on television has averaged 624,000 viewers in 2019. That's just being kind. I should just say it, that ESPN shows have averaged 624,000 viewers in 2019, their boxing shows. So
right. We
had than one of their boxing shows on ESPN. And to me, that tells me that people are tuning in and they're interested in boxing. It's a slow growth, but it's a growth. And I think that, you know, we are trying to reach people that normally would not tune in to boxing. And we're getting it. We're getting there slowly. And I think that's part of the reason that, you know, we're trying to do promos during the NFL games. And we're trying to reach people during NFL games. And, you know, to me, the value of that is immeasurable, you know, to have a game that an NFL game on a Sunday where you have, you know, 15, 16 million viewers. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a pop-up for a PBC fight, or there's a pop-up for a pay-per-view for the Spence Porter pay-per-view show, you know, to pop up, and not just pop up once, but, you know, you get 3, 4, 5 bites at the apple during a 4-hour broadcast or whatever. You know, that to me is phenomenal. It's something that no one has been able to do in the last 4 years on network television. And, you know, one of the numbers was like in week two of the NFL season, Fox had the late game and they had 23 million viewers for that late game. And we had promos that were running during that game. So the potential is that you have 23 million people watching an NFL game. You know, maybe some of them went to get, you know, more wings or went to the bathroom or whatever, but it's still there and it's still available. And some people saw it. So, you know, even if a small percentage of those people decide that they want to either watch the show, the next boxing show, or watch, you know, a countdown show, or even buy the pay-per-view, that's more people than you had before, you know, that saw the promo. So, I think it's good synergy, they're doing it with college football. On Saturday afternoon, we're getting promos in on college football. They're doing it with Major League Baseball, and we're about to run into the postseason with Major League Baseball. So, you know, this is something that helps us, you know, in the fall and beyond. You know, when the WWE starts up, we'll be doing the same thing with the WWE. You know, they do with NASCAR. So it's just whatever sports properties they have, you know, boom, we're hitting it. So. I love it. And what you have to also realize that this is the first year of 4-year deal.
Right.
So, you know, we're just at the beginning of this. This is, it started in December. So we're 10 months in, we're 10 months into the first year of this new deal. So I love it.
Absolutely. And you know, and Spence and Porter, I mean, this would be a really great fight to get people interested in, because it's going to be a really good fight. Spence.
Yeah. Style, the old styles make fights thing.
Right.
You got a guy who's very, very aggressive and has an attacking style in Porter. And you have a guy that's methodical and likes to go to the body and who's a very accurate puncher. Probably, you know, I haven't seen anybody with this kind of accuracy, since Floyd. He's very efficient. He makes every punch count. And, you know, he just breaks guys down and he takes away their will. Like late in the fight, guys just sort of lose their will. It's going to be interesting to see whether Sean Porter, you know, doesn't lose his will. And I think that's the intrigue in this. You know, is Sean's going to keep coming. And then what does Errol do if Sean keeps coming and he doesn't stop coming, you know? So it's very intriguing. It's a very intriguing matchup.
Absolutely. Yeah. What really impressed me against Mikey with Errol, I mean, the boxing ability for one, but just his work rate. I mean, you know, to have the work rate that he had, I mean, he was nearly throwing 100 punches a round for 12 rounds. You know, you just don't do that in a top level fight, especially for, you know, a guy who has, you know, his level of skill and so on. I mean, there's no wonder that Mikey couldn't get a round off him. You know, I mean, he just fought a really tough fight.
Right.
So, but
right.
But Porter, I think is not going to be as you know. I mean, Mikey kept looking for counter punching that wasn't there. I don't think Sean's going to be looking for counter punching. He knows he can't outbox.
And you know, the thing that. Yeah, but you know, the thing that's sort of interesting about Porter is that he sort of reinvented himself in the last two fights, in the Garcia fight and in the Ugas fight. You know, he showed a lot more movement, showed better footwork in both of those fights, and he actually, you know, showed some boxing skill. And I think a lot of the fights that Sean fought, I don't know if he ever, well, it's hard to say, but from the outside looking in as a spectator, it always looked like he was throwing punches, but there was little direction or intent or decision about where I was going to try to land it. It just looked like he was throwing punches just to try to overwhelm people. But, you know, it looked like he put a lot more thought in being precise in the fight with Danny Garcia and in the Ugas fight. You know, maybe that's just me looking, but he looked like he had, you know, he had decided to be a little bit more of a skilled boxer in those. So I don't know if he takes that tack against Spence. I don't know if he can take that strategy into the ring against Spence. So that's the part that's intriguing to me, is just from a strategic standpoint, you know, how does he go in and try to solve this puzzle?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think Sean kind of gets a bad rap as far as people just thinking he's like this bull. Because, you know, Malignaggi said it. I mean, Sean has a weird rhythm to him, and it's calculated, you know. And that's how he fought Devin Alexander as well. I mean, Devin could just never figure out his rhythm. And even when he's kind of bullying guys, he sets traps. I mean, Sean's a really intelligent guy. He's had a ton of, you know, great amateur pedigree.
Yeah.
Strong as a bull, and you know he's an athlete. Yeah. He's a former Ohio high school football player. So I think you got two great athletes in there. You know, two guys who have a tremendous amateur background. You know, Porter was certainly right there with Thurman. I think it's gonna a lot of people just writing him off in this fight. I think it's gonna be a very competitive fight. I think it's gonna be very entertaining and very competitive.
I think it's gonna be Yeah, I think it's going to be competitive. I'm not writing Sean off at all. I think it's going to be really good. I think there are going to be some fireworks, and these guys have just sort of developed a dislike for each other. So that always raises it to another level, you know. So we'll see what happens fight week. As a matter of fact, people were coming to us going, hey, can we get them on the show together? I'm like, nah.
Not at this point.
Them on the show together days are, they're long past. They're not going to sit down together.
Right.
No, that would not. They would be giving away their fight at that point.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right. So that's definitely a big one on the PBC calendar. Now, due to injuries and just general craziness, There's a few, like, you know, obviously there are fights that are kind of in the planning stage but haven't really just been announced or you know, formally with PBC, that a lot of people are kind of waiting on. Can you give any detail on Wilder Ortiz? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to be late November. It's going to be pay-per-view. I mean, can you announce whether it's going to be Fox or Showtime, or is that still in negotiations?
Still hasn't been determined. And as my Jamaican friends say, soon come, man, soon come.
Now, do we have a definitive date, though? Definitive date for that one?
November 23rd.
November 23rd. Okay. So mark that on your calendars.
Yeah. So there's going to be an announcement. All your questions will be answered very soon. Very soon. All will be revealed very soon. So
nice.
just exercise a little bit of patience and all your answers, all the questions that you have will be answered. But, that's probably the most dangerous fight, for my man Wilder. Obviously he has a great equalizer, but you know, a lefty who can punch and shows you a different, you know, way that the right hand is coming at you. It's pretty dangerous, and it's very very, very intriguing and interesting fight. And I think the way that I think the way that Fury got sliced open like a ripe melon by that Swedish guy.
Yeah, were you holding your breath on that? Because that's just like, man, you know, I mean, people want to see that.
I was thinking, man, if that was like New York,
yes,
that fight would have been stopped.
Absolutely. I think I tweeted
that. If that was a New York commission, as soon as that eyelid got sliced open, that was a New York commission, they would have shut that thing down.
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
You know, that thing would have been shut down, like, you know, but I think Bob being, you know, from Vegas, and, you know, Vegas having that sensibility of not wanting to get in the way of like a big money making fight down the road, you know, but in New York where they've had problems, you know, and they've been sued and
right,
you know, no, they would have shut that thing down in a heartbeat, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I was sitting there and I kept waiting. I was like, you know, 'cause when they showed it up close, and he had a lip over his eye, you know, I was like, geez, his eye is talking to us. It's saying, stop the fight.
That was gruesome. You know, that was a gruesome cut.
That was a really nasty cut. And I guess they said it took 47 stitches to close it. So, you know, beside the one in the eyelid, yeah, I was really nervous about that. I was like, oh, boy, you know, I guess Deontay will be fighting what was the guy's name? Otto Wallen? Whalen?
Right.
Wallen?
Yeah. Wallen?
Otto Wallen?
Something Wallen, like that.
Wallen, anyone? Wallen? Yeah. I was a little bit nervous when I saw that. But, you know, hey, Fury gutted it out. His corner, he's got a brave corner, that's for sure. They let it go, and you know, here we are. We're waiting to see what happens. We're waiting for Deontay to get through his fight. The only thing I know about Deontay is that when he has a first look at guys and he stood up to them and he's been hit by them, he normally just walks right to them.
Right.
You know, so I don't think he fears anything that Ortiz can throw at him. So I don't think he's going to be cautious or anything like that. I think he's going to throw caution to the wind and do what he does best. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. But yeah, that to me is still the most difficult style for him, is just a lefty that can land bombs. You know. And I got to tell you, they say the last thing that, you know, that a heavyweight loses is his ability to knock somebody out. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. It seems, you know, people, I don't know if they've forgotten that was like one of the fights of the year in 2018, but it's a hell of a fight. I mean, it really was.
I think. I think people forgot about that, you know, but it was a gutsy performance by Deontay to weather that, seventh round or whatever.
Yeah, he took a beating in that round. Yeah.
He took some shots. He took some beatings. And, you know, I went back and looked at it because he told me he wasn't hurt. He's like, no, I knew where I was. You know, yeah, I got dinged. I was buzzed a little bit, you know. And I went back and I looked at it. And he's absolutely right. His eyes were clear the whole while when he was like, getting a crap beat out of him. I mean, he was staggered and everything, and he was buzzed, but his eyes were clear when he walked back to the corner. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, but he told me that, yeah, he was, you know, he was dinged, but, you know, he wasn't like out on his feet or anything.
Right.
So I don't know whether the referee saw any of that or, but, you know, he came out and did his thing. You know, he still hits hard, man. I mean, he nails guys. But
For all those concerns about his stamina, you know, a few years ago, I mean, he clearly carries his power late. I mean, he's shown it against Ortiz and he showed it against Fury. So he's dangerous from bell to bell.
Yeah, Yeah, he's dangerous from the start to the end.
Right.
That Brazil fight. I mean, I'm glad to see Brazil has resurfaced, and he's still got his marbles. But that knockout was just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a brutal knockout.
Right.
You know, but so we'll see. You know where Mr. Wilder is, and you know hopefully he can keep things on track, and you know and go from there. And then I guess the next. The other big heavyweight fight is Joshua and Ruiz.
Oh, that one, yeah.
The accidental heavyweight. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That little fight. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, I mean, you look.
So
you're looking,
let me
go ahead.
Let me turn the tables on you, Kurt, and ask you a question. Would you go to Saudi Arabia to see a heavyweight fight?
Not unless someone was flying me out. You know, give me a ringside seat. I mean, it's
how many legitimate real boxing fans do you think are going to be there?
I mean, yeah. First of all, yeah. I mean,
because they're building an arena, right?
Flight.
They're building what, an 8,000 seat arena?
So yeah. They say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they say.
Yeah, we'll see if that gets done on time. Yeah, this. I mean, it's
wow, wow.
I mean, listen. It, you know, Eddie got a massive, massive check. So you know, it's hard to say no to that kind of money. But yeah, I mean, listen. Yep. And heavyweight title fights have been in all sorts of places. You know, that you wouldn't assume that they'd be. So. I'm not hating on him for taking it to Saudi Arabia, but yeah, is it going to be, you know, is it going to look anything like Wembley? No.
No. Yeah. No. No, it's not.
It's a little surprising to me that they didn't, you know, insist on it being in England, but, you know, hey, it's a neutral site. You know, they're going to fight in front of a thousand guys.
A neutral fight. A neutral fight.
I mean,
don't get no more neutral.
I was
than
gonna
that.
Say. I was gonna say it doesn't get any more neutral than that, Tim. You know, yeah. I mean, there are more remote places, but there's not too many more remote places to put a heavyweight title fight.
Well, it's sort of like Tex Rickard going to going to Reno or something and building. Building a stadium to have one of his fights, so it's harkening back to a bygone era, I guess. So
that's right.
I guess historically,
he's coming in to get the money and run. But hey, I mean, listen, let's talk about Andy Ruiz, though. I mean, Andy Ruiz, you know, I mean, Bob Arum in Top Rank kind of, you know, got frustrated with him, gave up on him, and. You know, one man's, fighter who's not cutting it is another man's heavyweight champion. I mean, obviously a great signing for the PBC, found money.
Isn't that something?
Right. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, there are plenty of people who are saying, you know, listen, Ruiz is just all wrong for Joshua. As great as Joshua had looked going into that fight. Styles make fights, and this is a guy with those quick hands and winning every exchange, you know, almost every exchange. Andy could be the man. He's got three belts right now. You know, he gets clear of this rematch. He's like, on top of the world.
As funny as we're making fun of the guy, but, you know, the thing is, he's got very fast hands. And he's got some sting on his punches, and that bothers a lot of heavyweights who are not fast and who don't know how to keep him off of them. And he gets inside and he just stings you.
Right.
You know, and before you know it, you know, you're concussed and you don't know why you're concussed and you're wondering why you came to America in the first place. You know, but yeah, I mean, that's one of the most remarkable stories, sports stories, just generally sports stories that I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, you know, what he did on the sort of the coming out party for a guy who came to America to find himself and to build himself into like this sports icon. And, you know, he's just this fat, chubby guy that he's supposed to walk over. And turn the tables the way that he did is just unbelievable. Right. You know, I mean, it's an incredible story. It's not even Rocky, because Rocky didn't win.
Right.
People forget that. Rocky lost.
I mean, to be honest, the pre-fight buildup, I've never seen a champion be so like nonchalant. And I mean, he let Ruiz hold his belts, Tim. He let Ruiz hold his belts.
Yeah.
What the F was up with that?
Yeah, like this is the...
I was like, yeah. You have no... You just... Yeah, you think like, this guy's here as a tourist. He's just going to take
no
pictures
respect.
With the... I couldn't believe that when
like,
I saw
this is as close as you're ever going to get to these things. So yeah, go ahead and hold him. This is as close as you're ever going to get. Hold him. You know, this 2 minutes that you get to hold him, that's it.
I guarantee you, heavyweight champion going forward is ever going to do that again, because that was the worst karma he brought on himself.
No. Yeah. I just, you know, I was just reading all the stories about his clothing line and, you know, the going to the Hugo Boss store in Manhattan and, you know, the private showing of his clothes. I was like, man, this guy's concentrating on everything except the fight.
Right, right.
You know, he's got to fight. You know, at some point, can't you hold that until after? You know, it's as the kids say, it's bad optics. You know, it just looks bad. You can't do that, man.
Right.
You know, you just have to be very, very careful, particularly in the heavyweight game where, you know, these guys hit hard.
Right.
You know. So, but that should be a really interesting fight. I'm curious to see, you know, if it was just an anomaly, if it was just, you know, a freakish, flaky occurrence that happened, or whether there's some legitimacy to, you know, to what Andy can do. And I actually thought that Andy Ruiz had beaten Joseph Parker when they fought. I actually thought I thought he won that fight.
It's a very close fight.
He just didn't get the decision.
Very close fight, yeah.
I thought he had won that fight. He just didn't get the decision. And, but, you know, his story is just, you know, I mean, literally rags to riches. And, you know, he just, even, you know, even when, after he signed with us, he was looking for some place to stay, man.
Right.
You know, just trying to get his life, you know, settled and everything. But, no, good for him. I'm so happy for that guy. You know, there are guys in boxing, you know, who you're just happy for.
Right.
You know, because they come up and, you know, they have misfortune and then fortune smiles on them and you're just happy for him. He's one of those guys. I'm just very happy for him. You know, however his life turns out, I'm happy for him in this moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, we'll see where he goes from here. He's got the only thing that I don't like about that fight is it's December the 7th. A day that will live in infamy.
Indeed.
That's the day that the Japanese
exactly.
Pearl Harbor.
It's
a bad day. It's a bad day, man.
Yeah.
It's not a good day. I don't know when they settled on that date, but it's not a good day. Not if you're American. Not if you're American.
Right.
Anybody, maybe in Saudi Arabia, it's okay.
I was going to say, Saudi Arabia is the perfect place for it then.
Yes. The absolute perfect place for it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
So Wilder Fury has a February date, but I mean that cut looks really nasty from Fury and you know, who knows what's going to happen with Wilder or Ortiz. So, you know, is there a chance that gets pushed back, the Wilder Fury fight, or is that
I got to tell you something about that February date. I never have heard anybody from our side say that was the date.
Ah.
It may be a working date.
Right.
But I had never heard anybody from our side say that was the date. You know, so I was always curious when they were saying, oh, it's this date, and nobody from our side ever said, that's the date. So, you know, I mean, you're in this business. You know that there are several working dates for things.
Right.
But a lot will depend on, you know, whether that's the date or not. But I had never, like I said, I had never heard anybody from our side say that that was the official date. So,
right.
So that's a bad cut. So we'll see what happens, you know. And then, you know, the other part of that is you got to wait to see what happens with Wilder and Ortiz before you can lock in something like that.
Absolutely.
You know, you
got
to wait for him to get through, you know, whatever it is that he's got to get through and see if he gets through unscathed.
Right.
Before you can lock that date in. And then, you know, you're looking at December, January, February. You're looking at only 3 months, and it's a big fight, and, you know, you're going to take 3 months to try to build a big fight. Yeah, you're talking about it, but there are other considerations in terms of just building up to a major pay-per-view, you know, kind of fight that I don't know if you could get everything in 3 months. But you,
right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But I just always thought that was – I just, you know, I saw that when I first saw that date, I was like, oh, never heard that.
right. That's so true. That's
go
true.
Ahead.
Right. It's true. I have not heard a fixed date from the PBC side. So that's fair. Well, now there was another. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that the other thing about.
I was just going to say that from our side, if we don't say it officially, then it's not official, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because we don't like to just throw random stuff out there. Because what happens when you throw random stuff out there and people report random things, or people report things that we haven't officially said, when it doesn't happen because it's not official, people come back to us and go, well, such and such reported that it was going to be on this date. What happened? And then we go, well, we never said it was going to be on that date. You're going by what somebody else is saying, and they're not directly involved in the business side of actually putting this together. They're not looking at the contracts for the venue. They're not looking at the television contracts. They're not looking at the fighter contract. They're not looking at the whole picture of what is going on. People talk about things all the time. They talk about dates all the time, but until it becomes official, we don't really make any statements about things that aren't official yet, because there are too many things that could blow up, and there are too many things that could happen that just sort of knock you off track of actually making it come to fruition. So when it's official, now, you know, things happen with people getting injured and things like that, that you always have to make allowances for. But when it's official, we normally make it official. We'll do an announcement.
Right. I was going to say the other thing, you know, speaking of wild Twitter internet rumors, but Wilder Fury, there's the rumor that these guys have already contracted to fight a rematch no matter the outcome of their fight. Is true, false? Can't comment.
I haven't heard that either.
Okay. Okay.
So, but that doesn't mean it's not true, but I have not heard that.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So there's a few other rematches that I was really looking forward to, and one of them I know is not going to happen, and that's J-Rock and my man Herd in December. Apparently, you know, Jared decided that you know a rematch with Julian was not in his best interest. So whether he's moving up in weight or wants to get used to a new trainer. He's opting out of that. Any word on who Julian would be defending his titles against in December? Is there any movement on that?
I haven't heard anything official, but again, you know, the 154-pound division is stacked.
Loaded. Yep.
Obviously, Lara has a version of that that title. You know, and I don't think J-Rock's fought him yet.
Right.
You know, Jermell has a rematch with Tony Harrison that's coming up. So I think take him and Tony off the playbill.
I was going to ask you about that. Do we have a date for that one, the Harrison-Charlo rematch?
There is a date I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Gotcha. No problem. So it's, but it's definitely, can you say it's going to happen in 2019? Or is that giving too much away?
I hope that it happens in 2019.
Okay.
I hope that it happens in 2019.
Okay.
But it's not official yet. So, but I hope that it will happen in 2019.
Okay. Fair enough. So, but Julian has, I think it's, you know, people had penciled it in as a date on Fox, right? On December 14th. Is that still the working date for Julian's first defense?
That is a Fox date.
So things are, you're not going to, it's not official till you say it's official. So, all right. Tough nuts to crack there, Tim.
I can confirm that is a Fox date.
All right. So let's talk about one that we know is happening, and that's Brian Castaño, my man Brian Castaño, taking out, was it Wally Omotoso?
Yeah.
So that one.
Yeah.
I heard initially it was going to be October. Now is it set for November 2nd? Is that a firm date?
Yes. I believe that is, yes, that is a firm date, November 2nd. And where is that? Is that
is Fox Sports 1?
Is that the one that's at? Yes, Fox Sports 1. I'm trying to remember the site for that. Is that down at, that's down in Maryland, I think, right?
That I don't want to check the schedule.
Yeah, I think it, I don't know. I don't have any of that stuff in front of me. But yeah, that's an FS1 show. I'm trying to remember who is on the
Oxon Hill, Maryland. Yes.
Co-feature for that.
On Fortuna?
Yeah, that's the
Javier Fortuna?
Grand National Harbor. Javier Fortuna and Jesus Cuellar, I think.
Right.
Which should be actually a pretty good little scrap. Yeah, now, that should be a pretty good little scrap. There was somebody else that was supposed to be on that card, but I think they got flipped off. But,
is that Erickson Lubin? Was Lubin going to be on that card?
But yeah, that's no. He's headlining his own show, and we have that announcement ready to go. There are some things that are holding it up, not on our end though.
Okay.
But yeah, so that announcement should be imminent. Should have happened already, but it didn't.
Okay.
We're not the holdup, though. We're not the holdup. Yeah, we're not the holdup.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, Lubin, you know, has been really impressive since he's gone down and started training with my man Kevin Cunningham, man.
I always felt bad that he just got caught with that shot.
Right.
I think we were going to be in for a very interesting fight, you know, especially considering how Jermell has fought since then, if that makes any sense.
Right.
I think if Lubin had survived that fight, we were going to be in for a really entertaining fight. But he got, you know, he bent his head down, got caught with a shot that he didn't see.
Right.
And it was lights out. But that's actually a rematch that I would love to see that rematch.
Absolutely.
I would love to see that again.
Yeah.
I would love to see that again. It reminded me of like Quillen and Jacobs.
Right.
I really would have loved to see that rematch.
Right.
Not to say that it wasn't, I mean, not to say that Quillen and Jacobs was stopped too soon.
Right.
But I never saw Pete Quillen get untracked in that. And I really wanted to see how that would turn out.
Right. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
But yeah, I really want to see Lubin and Charlo and Jermell again. I really want to see that. And I think, you know, I think we're going to end up seeing that again. I think we're going to end up seeing that again.
Be a great fight.
Yeah.
Be a great fight.
Something to look forward to. I got to tell you, the 154-pound division is very intriguing, and I call it the on any given Saturday night division because any of those guys could beat anybody else on any Saturday night. You never know what's going to happen. you know, we've already seen it with Tony Harrison, you know,
right.
beating Jermell, you know, so we, you know, we saw it with J-Rock and Garrett Hurd.
Right.
Hurd was old and we saw what happened when, you know, when J-Rock fought, Charlo. And I mean, so it's like on any given, you know, on any given Saturday night, man, you know, I love that division because I think all of those guys have a similar temperament.
Oh, listen.
You don't have a dancer in the group.
Right. Well, other than Lara. Even Lara, though, now. Lara doesn't move.
Even Lara has started to fight now. Look at him, man. You know, even he's like settled, man. He's like fighting now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, he's in there. You know, he's standing his ground, man. He's
right.
doing his thing, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah. like five of my favorite fighters who I like to watch. I mean, I love Brian Castaño, love J-Rock, love Hurd, Charlo, Lubin. I mean, all those guys. I mean, I can't wait to see their next fight. So, and they're all in the same division.
Yeah.
I mean, so you definitely got some great fights. I mean, I didn't realize that Castaño had the Omotoso fight because I was hoping Castaño could jump in there and fight J-Rock. Because I'm like, oh, man, would I love to see that fight. But yeah,
he was already on the books for that a while ago, and it didn't happen, and they moved it. So
right. All right.
But,
well,
it's pretty good.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Let me just ask you about a few more fighters, and I'll let you go. Just what the plans are, if you could tell us. Danny Garcia, what's Danny gonna, when's he gonna resurface and get a fight in here?
Well, he wants to go again before the end of the year. I don't know whether the schedule, you know, will mesh with his schedule, but definitely big things first quarter of next year. A big fight. We're planning on a big fight for him.
Right.
First quarter next year. Yeah.
No doubt. And
big fight.
Talking big fights. Now I know, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the frustrations of trying to put Leo Santa Cruz and Gary Russell in the same ring. I mean, have you guys just kind of given up at this point, or is that still a possibility? It doesn't look like it would happen this year. So what's in the plans for both guys, Leo and Gary?
Well, Leo's coming back before the end of the year, in a major fight. I don't think there's anything in the plans in the works for Gary right now. But you know, obviously he's still PBC. He didn't sign with anybody else as far as I know. So, you know, we'll have to see with, Mr. Russell, and, you know, what the future holds for him, but Leo's coming back before the end of the year and we'll have an announcement on him soon.
Okay. How about, Keith Thurman? Is he, I mean, probably not this year, I would think, right? But maybe early next year, or is he going to try and fit?
Well, it's definitely next year, because I'm gonna say that anybody that wants to know what's going on with Keith Thurman has to watch Inside the PBC on Sunday. He's going to be on the show, and he's going to offer some news. He's going to offer some news about his immediate and future plans.
Nice.
So I'm teasing the show. So if you want to know about
that,
I don't
Tim
know when
Smith.
This is running. Kirk, I don't know when this is going to be, when this is going to air. I don't know when you're putting this up. So, but if this goes up before Sunday, you know, Inside the PBC on Sunday on Fox, then, you know, he will, he's going to tell everybody what's going on with him. And I don't want to ruin his news.
Sure.
I don't want to break anything on you. I don't want to break anything. I'm not Mike Coppinger, so I'm not going to break any stories on your podcast. I'm going to let Mike be the breaking news guy that he so desperately likes being, but there's some Keith Thurman news that Keith is going to break himself. So
nice. How about Jermall Charlo?
Jamal. What did I see for Jamal? I saw something for Jamal. I can't remember. I don't know whether he's. I think he may be back this year.
Okay.
Okay.
So by the
end of the year. I did see something about him. I did see something with him. I think he may be back this year.
Okay. So
yeah.
Expect.
But he's already fought like what? He fought in June, right?
Right.
He fought in December, June.
Right.
And then he fought December, June. So yeah, he's due. Right. Yeah. I think I saw something on him.
Okay. So by the end of 2019, we may see Jamal. Now, Adrian Broner, is that one set? Is AB definitely? I saw something about him and Red Koch maybe fighting.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, another one of those things where people had him and Red Koch fighting. I hesitate to say that that's not in the offing, but I haven't heard any talk about it recently. So okay. I don't know what's going on with that. As far as I know, Adrian has not rejoined Kevin Cunningham in camp yet. So I don't know what's happening with that.
Okay. Interesting. Let's see what else we have here. The Jean Pascal and Brown rematch. Is that going to be this
Ooh.
Year? Yeah. Or...
I don't think that's happening this year.
Okay.
So I don't think that's happening this year. Yeah.
Okay. So that's probably.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening this year.
Going in 2020. All right. So.
Because that was in August, right? That was August 3rd, right? That was on the Kanaki.
Right.
Kanaki show. Okay. Yeah. What do you think about boy Kanaki? Kanaski.
Yeah, Kanaski. I love him. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I hate to see, you know, Deontay bouncing shots off his head like Ariola was, but if he can take them, it could be interesting.
I don't think that's good for his health. He's just had a baby, so I don't think that's good for his health. I think he should enjoy that baby for a minute, and then you know put Deontay on the back burner somewhere. Yeah, put Deontay on the back burner.
But that's a fun guy.
I love Adam.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
Adam.
Yeah,
Adam's a great guy. I love him, man. I love him to death. And you know, but yeah, let's leave Mr. Wilder alone for now.
You know, if Ruiz comes through against Joshua, I mean, that would be a fight I would love to see in New York is Ruiz and Kanaski, man. That'd be a great, great fight. That'd be so much fun.
That would be awesome. That would be an awesome fight. That's a bodybuilder's dream right
exactly.
there, baby. You know.
For the dad bod championship.
Put them both in speedos, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, baby. I love it, man. Yeah, I love it, man. That would be a great fight. That would be a great fight. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I mean, the only other thing I had here is, you know, Dana White and Zuffa Boxing are going to make a big announcement in October. There was a lot of talk, you know, about PBC and Zuffa Boxing maybe doing some business. Any idea what Dana's going to announce in October?
I don't know. I have no idea what he's going to announce. I'm just as anxious as everybody else to see what he does announce. And you know, I'm curious.
Right.
I mean, I'm curious. I can't imagine, you know, I don't know whether he's going to model it after the UFC. I certainly don't know if he likes the way that modern day boxing is run in terms of just the traditional way with promoters and the way the fighters are. I don't know if the modern day fighter would appreciate a UFC model, because most of these guys have their own managers. that are independent of the promotional, you know, tie-ins and everything.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, if he decided to do an all-encompassing kind of thing and turn it into a league where, you know, he owns all the.
Oop, he cut out.
Within his league or whatever. Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, it would be, you know, would definitely have some intrigue because then, you know, if you have a league kind of thing where you have a tournament, then people would always know, you know, where the ladder is and where guys are on the ladder. And you could contain, I guess you could contain the cost of it by paying out, you know, a set amount for, you know, guys and where they are on the ladder, number one seed, number two seed, number three seed, number four seed, you know, and then you could just do it as a round robin kind of tournament. I don't know. I don't know what he has planned. I don't know how he's going to pull it off. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he pulls it off. And I wish him all the best, man. Boxing is not for the faint of heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, to my mind with that, it's like, okay, you know, it's all fine and good to have a system and all that. But if you don't have fighters at all or fighters that anybody wants to see, you know, it's not going to work. But we'll
yeah,
see.
I mean, then you're just doing it. It's just an exercise. Yeah, then it's just an exercise in, you know, guys hitting each other.
Right.
Right. And, you know, but I guess he's got an arena. He has built an arena near his facility or something that seats, what, 2,500 or something?
I think it's in the facility. So, yeah, they got this, you know, monster, like, facility, right?
It's in the facility. Yeah. That's like TV ready and that kind of thing. And,
right.
You know, and I guess he's got a deal with ESPN Plus. So he's already got his TV and streaming thing set up. So, I mean, he's got the most important thing that you could have, which is television tape.
Right, right, absolutely.
You know, it's a streaming service, but he has those. And, you know, if he has a bankroll, then he can make it attractive for people that, for boxers that, you know, want to get involved in that. Again, like I said, I don't know how he controls his cost or whatever. So I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. And like I said, I wish him the best with that. You know, if it's good for the sport, then I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, certainly what's good for the sport is Errol Spence versus Sean Porter. Can't wait to see that. And good luck in touting that and promoting that. And really want to thank you for taking the time, man, on a Friday night and making time and coming on the podcast, man.
Not a problem. I have no life, Kirk. That's basically what this is.
I know. Look at us on a Friday night. Woo! Whippa!
Friday night. Woo! Pop the champagne.
All right, my man.
All right, my man.
Take care, Tim.
And that will do it for another edition of the Boxing Esquire podcast presented by The Ring and ringtv.com and distributed by the Leave It in the Ring Network. I'd like to thank Tim Smith for taking the time out to speak with me on a Friday night. And if you like the podcast, please leave a comment or a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audioboom, SoundCloud, or wherever you access the Boxing Esquire podcast. I'd really appreciate it as it helps new listeners find the podcast. And also, do not forget to check out my companion piece to this podcast on ringtv.com that features quotes and background on my interview with Tim. And until next time, so long, everybody.
Get what you was looking for?